Well, let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter number 10. 2 Kings chapter number 10, verse 15 is where we're going to start. We are talking about the beginning of Jehu's dynasty in northern Israel. You remember that Jehu was anointed by a prophet, a messenger sent by Elisha, the prophet, at God's insistence, to anoint him as the new king and task him with ending the last dynasty, the Omride dynasty, the dynasty that went from Omri to Ahab and Jezebel, and then on to Jehoram. And so Jehu has done that. He has executed God's judgment against Jehoram at Jezreel. He also killed Ahaziah, the nephew of Jehoram, who also was the king of southern Judah. He was the means of continued infection into the southern kingdom from the northern kingdom of Baal and Asherah worship. And we'll follow up with what happened in Judah in a little bit. But first, we need to see how Jehu does a surprise sweep of Baal and Asherah worship in the northern kingdom. So he keeps all the information tightly controlled as he takes over the country within the first couple of days. And as he makes his way to the capital city, he comes across a man who is not officially an Israeli. He is a member of the Bedouin tribes that were related to Moses through his in-laws from Midian, that came into the country of Israel and have been living as Bedouins with the Israelis for centuries now. They worship the one true God, He who is, but they don't live in houses and they don't have properties. They just simply make arrangements to camp at different places. Well, there's this man, Jehonadab, and his family who have their encampment near the capital city of Samaria at the time of Jehu's arrival. And this is what happens. 1 Kings 10:15. And when he, that is Jehu, departed from there, he met Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. So the Bedouin is actually coming to meet the new king. Why? More than likely, he wants to initiate a new arrangement where he can continue to graze his flocks and have water rights in and around northern Israel. Well, Jehu greeted him and said to him, "Is your heart true to my heart as mine is to yours?" And Jehonadab answered, "It is." So he says, "Yes, we're on the same page." Now, I suspect these guys might already know each other, because Jehu has been a member of the Israeli military for quite some time. He was an attendant to King Ahab during his reign. And now here he is, a top military commander, recently made king. And Jehonadab probably also knows that Jehu is not a fan of Baal and Asherah worship. In fact, some of the words that Jehu spoke in the midst of the last story indicate that he hated Baal worship and Asherah worship, and he held a very hard grudge against the royal family of Ahab and Jezebel for promoting this false faith. So Jehu says back to Jehonadab, "Well, if it is, give me your hand." So he gave him his hand, and Jehu took him up with him into the chariot. And he said, "Come with me, see my zeal for He who is." So he had him ride in his chariot. So this is all about these two men apparently agreeing that Baal worship is wrong. And it is a sinful blight upon the northern kingdom. And it should be done away with. And Jehu is about to accomplish that as the new king. And he wants Jehonadab to see it happen. So when he came to Samaria, he struck down all who remained to Ahab in Samaria till he had wiped them out according to the word of he who is that he spoke to Elijah. So first order of business, get rid of what remains of the royal family because they've all been infected with Baal and Asherah worship. Verse 18, then Jehu assembled all the people to him. Now everything that he's about to say is, it's a cover story to allow him to clearly identify all the major players in Baal worship inside the capital city and in the areas around it. He is going to pretend that he is on board with Baal worship that's been carried out by the former family. And in fact, that he's going to even take it another step forward than that. But he's doing it to identify the leadership of Baal worship. It kind of reminds me of some stories that I've heard from communistic countries in the past. One story in particular, let me tell it to you really quickly. Where members of an underground church were meeting, and suddenly in came the secret police. They break down the door and they storm in with their weapons, and they say, "Everybody that believes in this stuff, you stay. The rest of you, you can leave now if you want to give it up and quit doing this nonsense." So they basically pretended like they're going to bring great disaster upon anyone that believed in Jesus. Well, unfortunately, several people opted to leave. Once they were gone, the invaders dropped their pretense and said, "We're sorry for all of that, but we are believers in Jesus, and we wanted to make sure that there were no moles here from the government and nobody that doesn't believe the true faith." And then they worshiped with them. Well, something like that is what's about to happen with Jehu. 2 Kings 10, verse 18. Then Jehu assembled all the people and said to them, "Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu will serve him much. Now therefore, call to me all the prophets of Baal, all his worshipers, all his priests. Let none be missing, for I have a great sacrifice to offer to Baal. Whoever's missing shall not live." But Jehu did it with cunning in order to destroy the worshipers of Baal. So he makes it look as if he is starting his administration as a great servant of Baal, the thunder and lightning god, and Asherah, his consort, with a great worship service at the temple of Baal in the capital city of Samaria. And everybody better show up so that they can prove to him that they're on board with his new national religion. But on the quiet, he's going to do something else. Verse 20, Jehu ordered, "Sanctify a solemn assembly for Baal." So they proclaimed it. And Jehu sent throughout all Israel, and all the worshipers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left who did not come. And they entered the house of Baal, and the house of Baal was filled from one end to the other. So evidently, Ahab and Jezebel had built a massive worship center at the capital city of Samaria for Baal and Asherah. And it was big enough that it could have tens of thousands, perhaps over 100,000 people surrounding it Probably it had a main shrine building, much like the temple down in Judea. Had a main shrine building, then maybe an outer courtyard around it. So he's able to gather as many people as possible for this national assembly that is going to ask Baal to bless his kingdom. Then verse 22, he said to him who was in charge of the wardrobe, bring out the vestments for all the worshipers of Baal. So he brought out all the vestments for them. And Jehu went into the house of Baal with Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, and said to the worshipers of Baal, search and see that there is no servant of he who is here among you, but only the worshipers of Baal. And then they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings. So they're doing everything to make it clear who is a Baal worshiper. They have some sort of clothing article that can be put upon every person that comes in to worship Baal. And they also ask them to self-police. Make sure that nobody that's here is just pretending to be a Baal worshiper when in fact they're a worshiper of Yahweh. Get them out of here if they're a worshiper of He who is. And once he does all that, then comes the closing of the trap. Jehu had stationed 80 men outside. So 80 men are around the complex at the different entry points. And these guys have been given the following orders. The man who allows any of those whom I give into your hands to escape shall forfeit his life. So as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, and Jehu said to the guard and to the officers, go in, strike them down. Let not a man escape. So when they put them out to the sword, the guard and the officers cast them out and went into the inner room of the house of Baal, and they brought out the pillar that was in the house of Baal and burned it. And they demolished the pillar of Baal and demolished the house of Baal and made it a latrine to this day. So every person that showed up at the capital city in order to participate in this Baal worship is executed in this one sweep. And the whole building is destroyed. It's turned into a public toilet. At least part of it is turned into a public toilet. And the worship items are defaced. So Jehu wiped out Baal from Israel. That was his intention. He wants to end the Sidonian faith that was brought into the country by Jezebel, the queen that had married Ahab, the king. And he wants to bring everybody back to the worship of He who is. But there's a problem. And that is, he wants to bring them back to the worship of He who is according to the tradition of the Northern Kingdom. Now remember, we are about 90 years into the life of the Northern Kingdom at this point. So several generations have grown up and a couple have passed away since the kingdom of Northern Israel started. And when they started with this twisted worship of He who is in the form of golden calves. So that is the religion of Northern Israel that Jehu wants to take them back to. He considers this the revival of Jeroboam's form of worship of He who is. Verse 29, Jehu did not turn aside from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, which he made Israel to sin, that is, the golden calves that were in Bethel and in Dan. So this is still not as far as it needs to go. They have not fully repented and returned to God. They're only coming back partway. And this is a sad commentary upon the choices of many people is that, yes, they realize that certain things are just wrong and should not be done and are inappropriate and they need to be stopped. And yet they still don't come fully to God. They still don't come on His terms back to Him. And God has to deal with that as well. So verse 30 says, "He who is said to Jehu, because you have done well in carrying out what is right in my eyes, and have not done to the house of Ahab according to all that was in my heart, your sons of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel." So God makes him a promise. Your dynasty will be able to reign in northern Israel until the fourth generation. And the reason he only makes that provisional promise is because God already knows that this worship by the golden calves, this remnant of false faith, is going to be a problem for northern Israel and will keep the door open to idol worship, not just simply of the golden calves, but of all sorts of other gods and goddesses. So getting rid of Baal and Asherah worship, that was a good idea. And he gets applauded for that. But not bringing the northern kingdom all the way back to the true and living God worship at Jerusalem, that was a mistake. Verse 31 is the commentary from the prophets on that very topic. Jehu was not careful to walk in the law of He who is the God of Israel with all his heart. He did not turn from the sins of Jeroboam, which he made Israel to sin. And we will have to come back and talk about the difficulties and the troubles that come out of those decisions of Jehu later. At this point, though, we need to talk about what happened down in southern Judah. Now, we already know that Ahaziah's body was released by Jehu to Judean attendants who were able to take it to Jerusalem where it was buried. And his mother, Athaliah, grieves over the death of her son, who was apparently a big follower of Baal and Asherah. But she reacts in a way that catches us all off guard, I think. She's also upset about the murder of her brother, Jehoram, the king of northern Israel, and of her mother, Jezebel, up in Jezreel. This is how she responds to all of that latest news. 2 Kings chapter number 11. Now, when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal family. So she starts killing anybody that is in line to the throne of Judah. She, I guess, had it in her mind that if her family has been wiped out in northern Israel, then the family here in Jerusalem might try to lay claim to both kingdoms. And the way that she can take care of that not happening is by wiping out anybody from the line of David that she can get her hands on, especially those through Solomon, I should say. And so she's killing all of her in-laws and even apparently some of her own grandkids. But something happens at God's orchestration to keep His promise that this family line, this Solomonic line, was going to have somebody to sit on the throne right up until the end of the southern kingdom. So verse number 2 reports, but Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being put to death, and she put him and his nurse in a bedroom. So Jehosheba is Athaliah's daughter, or possibly a stepdaughter, born to Jehoram by another wife. And she realizes what's going on. So she goes into what must be this mass nursery, this mass childcare unit. And she grabs one of the boys, Joash by name, and runs away with him, and puts the baby with the nurse in a bedroom somewhere away from all the other kids. And Athaliah, as is the case with many royal families, is not on hands in childcare. And somehow she does not realize that one of her grandboys, one of her grandsons, is missing from those that are being slaughtered. So thus, the scripture says, they hid him from Athaliah so that he was not put to death. And then Athaliah, of course, declares that she is the only royal family member left in the area and declares herself to be queen of Judah. I wouldn't be a bit surprised that she actually also claimed to be queen of northern Israel in exile. But the true heir, the one that she doesn't know about, is kept secretly hidden in the temple complex. Because the thing that we didn't realize yet is that Jehoshabeth is married to Jehoiada the high priest. So she's got access to the temple building itself. And so verse number 3 of our 2 Kings passage says, and he remained with her 6 years hidden in the house of he who is, while Athaliah reigned over the land. So he was just a little baby, and he is being raised by his aunt and his uncle, who happens to be the high priest, in the temple complex without Athaliah actually realizing that he is there. And we will come back with more of that story later. But let's finish up with a story that probably happens under King Jehu right around this time of the secret growing up of Joash. So we go up to the northern kingdom. And 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 1 says, now Elisha had said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, arise, depart with your household, and sojourn wherever you can, for he who is has called for a famine, and it will come upon the land for 7 years. So the woman arose and did according to the word of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. So probably back during the time of Jehoram, God sent a famine, a drought, upon the northern kingdom, and Elisha helped this lady escape it. Verse 3, at the end of the 7 years, when the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, she went to appeal to the king for her house and her land. Now the king was talking with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, should say the former servant, because he ran into problems, saying, tell me all the great things that Elisha has done. And while he was telling the king how Elisha had restored behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life appealed to the king for her house and her land. And Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, here is the woman, here is her son, whom Elisha restored to life." And when the king asked the woman, she told him. And so the king appointed an official for her, saying, "Restore all that was hers, together with all the produce of the fields from the day that she left the land until now." And so more than likely, that was King Jehu, who is interested in things related to the true and living God, including the ministry of the prophet Elisha. And he finds out that he's actually able to help out this woman who helped the prophet Elisha by making sure she got her land back once she returned to northern Israel. Have a great weekend, and make sure that you worship the Lord with your brothers and sisters in Christ when this Lord's Day comes this weekend.